Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
There's not been a constitutional convention in this nation since 1787. That's when they met to make changes to the Articles of Confederation and ended up with an entirely new constitution. There is now an effort underway to have another constitutional convention to fix the problems in the nation immediately. And we know there are a lot of problems with these constitutional conventions. They're saying that we want to deal with term limits for Congress and federal judges, to have a balanced budget amendment. They want to deal with judicial activism, the reduction of federal power, and things like that. They're calling it an Article 5 Convention of States. But what is it really? What are they basing this attempt on? Is this a good course of action? Will it be successful? And what problems will it create if it is successful? What will we end up with in the end if they're successful? My guest today is Andy Schlafly. He's with Phyllis Schlafly's Eagles. Thanks, Andy, for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Diane, for having me on your wonderful radio show.
And I want to first offer my condolences in the loss of your mom, Phyllis, in September. Pro-lifers and the pro-family movement lost a great hero and a great leader with her loss.
I appreciate that. Well, we're carrying on her work, which is what she would have wanted us to do. So
absolutely.
We'll just move forward.
Yep, she was active up to the very end. Now, and I know, you know, I've had her on the program a couple times, and I have to say up front that when I first heard of the Article 5 Convention, that I thought this was a good idea. You know, we can get everything fixed all at once and all this stuff. But I had your mom on the program a time or two, and I read a lot of her work about this very issue, and it's not a good idea.
No,
it's not
it
a good idea whatsoever. But why is this effort to have a constitutional convention?
Well, the Constitution's not the problem. And to invoke a constitutional convention, we would be going under Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution, which says whenever two-thirds of the states, which would be 34 states, apply for a constitutional convention, then Congress shall call the convention for proposing amendments. So the procedure that's being invoked here that the other side is using, which they don't really disclose and explain fully, is that Congress, and only Congress, calls the convention, and then the convention is there for proposing multiple amendments. There's no way to limit it. So it's a new constitutional convention with unlimited amendments. They could repeal the Second Amendment. They could add taxpayer-funded abortion. They could add same-sex marriage. They could do all these things and then put that into the Constitution, essentially rewrite the whole thing, make it more globalist.
Just like they did with the Articles of course, in case of the Articles of Confederation, they scrapped the whole thing and we got the Constitution, which is the Constitution is much better than the Articles, but that was not their original intent. It was just
right. And as Daniel Webster says, miracles do not cluster. You don't have multiple miracles. Mm. We got one miracle in 1787. Don't expect another one.
Yeah. And even Justice Scalia, which I guess they quote Justice Scalia, the proponents of this Article 5 convention. They're quoting, I don't know how old this quote is from Justice Scalia, but they're saying that Justice Scalia thought it was a good idea. But just prior, I think about a year prior to his death, he said the exact opposite. He said this is not a good decade in which to have a constitutional convention or in which to write a constitution. So in fact, this is not a good century to write a constitution.
Yeah, that's right, Diane. In fact, I was at that event in May
of
2015 where someone asked Justice Scalia about it, and he said it's, quote, a horrible idea, close quote. And that was reported in the newspaper. You don't have to take my word for it. And he said that on other occasions, too. There was a video of him on YouTube where you can see him saying something similar. Now, what the Convention of States people do is they misleadingly go back to 1979, before Justice Scalia came to D.C., before he was a judge, before he was a Supreme Court justice, where he got into a debate with someone and he said some things that suggested, well, maybe he was open to the idea. But no, after he got the experience of being in D.C., he realized this is a horrible idea. Don't let people monkey around with our Constitution.
Wow, so they go clear back to 79 to get a quote that makes Scalia look like he would support their efforts.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of misleading things. I mean, their name, Convention of the States, is misleading. It's a convention called by Congress.
Yeah.
Congress would set the rules. The delegates would be in proportion to population, not one vote, one state. It would be one man, one vote. It'd be in proportion to population, like everything else. Supreme Court held back in 64 that when you have deliberative bodies like this, it has to be in proportion to the population, not some other scheme. So all the little states that are looking at this, they're all going to be overwhelmed by the huge number of delegates who came to it from California and New York.
And New York, just like the proponents of the of abolishing the Electoral College.
You're right. That's exactly right. And that's one thing they get rid of. A new constitutional convention, you can be sure that'd be top on their list, get rid of the Electoral College. And without the Electoral College, Diane, we would not have elected a Republican president since 1988.
Wow.
That's how we'd have to go back nearly 30 years. George W. Bush only got in because of the Electoral College. Then he was able to squeak by for re-election. Donald Trump only got in because of the Electoral College.
Yeah.
The Electoral College guarantees geographic diversity. Without the Electoral College, the elections would all be decided by Los Angeles, Chicago, and New York.
Yeah, and we would all be suffering, groaning under the weight of those laws that would come from such administrations and such a Congress. We are, as it is, just barely recovering now, just beginning to recover from 8 years under Obama. I can't imagine there'd be a never-ending Obama-type administration. That's I just can't imagine that. I don't even want to think about it. So the idea originated from the Article 5 in the Constitution, but they're misrepresenting what it actually says. Actually, the 34 states could petition Congress, and Congress could call for the convention and actually make the rules.
Yes. Congress would call the convention, which means they would control it.
Yeah.
They'd put in the speaker and so on. I mean, we think Michael Ferris apparently once said that he thought he would be the president of a constitutional convention. I mean, you got to be kidding me. Liberals would take
there
this thing
no
over
way.
So fast. They'd get all the key positions. Just look at the way they stack the bureaucracy in D.C.
Look at
the way they get liberals picked to the Supreme Court and everything. They would be in there controlling this. The media would be controlling it. I asked Michael Ferris in a debate whether he'd allow the media in. The original Constitutional Convention kept the media out.
Mm.
It was top secret because
they
didn't want that influence. Michael Ferris said, no, we'd allow the media in. We'd have it transparent. We'd let them in. Because you know why? Because some of these backers of a new Constitutional Convention, they want the attention. They want the attention.
Okay, I want to be in the spotlight.
But then what the media would do is the media would just influence it, control it,
and
dictate the outcome.
Yeah, and that's what we're seeing now. You're talking about the government bureaucracy. Look what President Trump is having to overcome with those who are still faithful to Obama and all the ruckus that they're causing. And the media is right in cahoots with them
and
causing the ruckus. So I can't imagine the Constitutional Convention being infiltrated by the media.
Right. The media works hand in glove with the liberals,
and
they're constantly communicating with each other. And look at the way they've had such an impact on Trump's first 100 days here, the way the liberals work with the media. And the same thing with the Constitutional Convention, but in that case, they'd be rewriting the Constitution.
Which would impact every single American. Now, we already have 27 amendments to the Constitution, because, the first 10 are the Bill of Rights, which was ratified shortly after the Constitution was ratified. But how did we get the other 17 amendments? If there's not been a constitutional convention, how can an amendment be added to the Constitution itself?
Right. So for all the other 17 amendments, those were passed by two-thirds vote in Congress, two-thirds vote in the House of Representatives, and two-thirds vote in the Senate. And then once that occurs, it's sent to the states for ratification by three-quarters of the state legislatures, or in one case, they had state ratifying conventions. The point is, it starts in Congress. They have to enact it by two-thirds vote, and then it has to be enacted by three-quarters of the state legislatures. And that's a check and balance, because we don't want a new amendment every year. We don't want that many amendments. Honestly, if as a conservative looking at the Constitution, we support the Bill of Rights. You get beyond the Bill of Rights, of course, abolishing slavery, we support that. But really, the only standout amendment that conservatives would say was terrific and really improved the Constitution was the term limits on the president, 22nd Amendment. So two terms, and then you're out.
Yeah.
The other amendments, I mean, honestly, you sort of look at it, some of them were a little positive, some of them were negative. The 17th Amendment conservatives are very much opposed to, where that calls for the direct election of senators. That's what basically eviscerated the power of state legislatures.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the ratification of that 17th Amendment that transferred the selection of senators from state legislatures to the people, and what that did was it basically deprive state legislatures of all their authority. That's why state legislatures are so insignificant today.
Wow.
But the state legislators voted for that amendment, often unanimously, to ratify it. And why did they do that? Because the media pressure was so strong.
Mm-hmm.
And it misled them.
I would think it misled them.
And that's, you get that pressure. So we don't even, once the Constitutional Convention, if it were to occur, the way these convention of states people want and so on, just imagine all the pressure that's going to be there for the states to ratify it. They say, oh, don't worry about it. We'll have a constitutional convention. If you don't like what comes out of it, the states won't ratify it. No,
mm-hmm.
It becomes like a runaway freight
yeah.
train.
Oh, yeah, especially in today's world. Because there was a whole bunch, I'll just use the word bunch, there were several amendments added to the Constitution, was it right around the early 1900s?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. These were the progressive amendments, like adding the income tax. Horrible
mm-hmm.
amendments. 16th Amendment. Congress did not have the power to impose income tax on the people, and the great wisdom of these people who want to amend the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
They amended the Constitution to give Congress the authority to have an income tax on it.
Wow.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff we'd get if we had a new constitutional convention.
Yeah, it would open it wide for all sorts of amendments. And like you said, it could even abolish
right.
the Second Amendment.
Right. So Mark Levin is there. Oh, he's got his amendments he'd like to see added. All these people view themselves as the new founding father, and I just don't see it. That's what my mother said.
Yeah.
Before she passed away, in one of her many great lines, she says, I see a lot of people around here who think they're James Madison, George Washington, Alexander Hamilton, and they're not.
No.
But they think they are.
In fact, Levin says that a convention is the last hope, quote, to reform the federal government from its degenerate, bloated, imperial structure back to its smaller Republican roots, unquote. Which, granted, we all agree that the government has gotten too big. We don't disagree with that. But my whole thought is, even if they change the Constitution and they're successful in adding amendments, the federal government's not going to listen to those or abide by those amendments any more than they are going to abide by the Constitution as it is. They're going to go about doing what they want to do.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if they're not paying attention to the Constitution now, who thinks they'd pay attention to a new Constitution?
Exactly.
And this sort of idea of, it's our last chance, we just have to roll the dice here. We have to go to Las Vegas and bet everything we have on the roulette wheel. I mean, look, we have hard times. We have hard times personally. But nobody would give advice to a family that hit hard times where they all lost their jobs and stuff and say, take whatever you have left and go bet it in Atlantic City at the blackjack tables.
Yeah.
No, nobody would give that advice.
Yeah.
And we're certainly not going to do that with our country.
I hope not. And too many, talking about gambling, too many state governments are depending upon gambling now, even as Pennsylvania has become dependent upon gambling since 2004.
Yes.
It's crazy. And as I was doing some research for this program, there are a lot of liberal organizations that are tied to George Soros that also want this constitutional convention.
Yes.
So,
yes. In fact, they've really been the bigger supporters of it, and they're just waiting to take the thing over. And so this convention of states, we don't know where the money's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect it's coming from the Koch brothers. But the Koch brothers, conservative on some issues, not conservative on others.
Mm-hmm.
They're really globalist,
like
George Soros.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things this Constitution would do, a new Constitution, would basically erode our sovereignty. It would basically get rid of the treaty clause in the Constitution, which requires two-thirds vote of the Senate to approve any treaties with foreign powers. The globalists hate that clause because two-thirds vote is very difficult to achieve. It should be difficult to achieve
when we're entangling
ourselves with foreign powers. Koch brothers tend to be pro-immigration. They tend to be pro the phony free trade.
Mm-hmm.
And they will tinker with this thing to make it more like what they want rather than what's good for the country.
Yeah. And there have been some action in several states this year. Do you want to give us a little bit of rundown of what's happened in some of the states that there have been attempts to get these passed?
Well, these convention states people, I mean, they've been wasting tens of millions of dollars on this.
And as you're saying, where's the money coming from for them to do this?
Right, and they hide the source of the money. So right there, I mean, that's reason enough to oppose it.
Yeah.
But they had big plans. They were going to pass this thing in about 15 states this winter and spring.
Mm-hmm.
Many legislatures adjourn by the summer. I know Pennsylvania doesn't, but
we never adjourn. we're ongoing forever, unfortunately. Yeah.
But here's the story. The story is we've beaten them 5-0.
Oh,
so
wow.
Far. 5-0.
That's fantastic.
And the South Dakota legislature, where they have put a lot of their resources up there into that relatively small state, they had three lobbyists hired there last year,
goodness,
pushing this thing in South Dakota. That was going to be their triumph. South Dakota has 60 Republican legislators, only 10 Democratic legislators. And unfortunately, a lot of the Republicans have been falling for this. So they try to go to some of these Republican states and try to persuade the Republicans to do this. And I don't know, some Republicans maybe see the money and they think that this is a way to tap into some of the Koch brothers' money. You know, we hear so much about the Koch brothers in the media, like they're running everything.
Yeah, too much into it.
I just don't see it. They have hyped up influence, and people should just ignore them.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
the media's helped. Yeah, the media's helped hype that influence up.
Yeah, because they're not really conservative.
Well, exactly.
So that's why the media likes them. So South Dakota, they had the vote, and we won by a couple votes the first time, and they said, well, we're going to get it reconsidered. And they scheduled a special vote to reconsider the first vote because they lost by only a few votes, the convention of states people did. And they had the rescheduled vote on Monday, and we beat them by a wider margin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was thrilling.
Oh, absolutely.
We had volunteers there on the ground. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of people emailing. And once you hear the arguments, I mean, everyone starts to come over to our side once you hear the arguments about it. I mean, once you listen to it and think it through and you get through the deception on the other side. And particularly some of these smaller states, I mean, you got to be kidding me. To open up the rewriting of the Constitution to California, New York, and Illinois,
That's scary.
Wants that?
Yeah.
Nobody wants that.
Yeah, and again, they're being misled, as you're saying. That's for sure. And right here in Pennsylvania, you mentioned, conservative Republicans getting wrapped up in this, drawn into this. We have Representative Chris Dush over in Jefferson County, just a couple of counties over from where I'm sitting right now. He has introduced a resolution that it's House Resolution 10, dealing with a single subject Article 5 convention, and it would be...
I got it right here,
okay,
Diane.
Yeah. Tell us what's wrong with that. Except at the beginning it's dealing with Article 5 convention, but he wants to limit the government, et cetera, and bring back states' rights. But we already have the 10th Amendment, and they're ignoring it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, we already have this in the Constitution.
Yeah.
So I'll read from it. I mean, it sounds good at first glance.
Mm-hmm.
It says convention limited to, but you can't limit it. You can't limit it. So it's limited to proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the United States to grant state legislatures authority to countermand and rescind any mandate issued by any branch of the federal government or its agencies that encroaches on states' rights and the personal liberties of their citizens. So that's what they say, but you can't limit it. You go back and look at Article 5, and you see it's not limited. The convention is convened to propose amendments, plural.
Yeah.
So Article 5 is going to preempt this. All this thing does is it just opens. It's like unlocking your house at night in a bad neighborhood and just sleeping with your doors wide open. You're just letting anybody come in and do any bad thing they want to do.
Yeah, wow.
And we're not going to do that. We're not going to allow that. So while some of this may sound good, it's actually horrible. It's horrible. It plunges into a national crisis. It would allow liberals to come in. Conservatives, we need to appreciate that we're often a minority. I mean, we're often a minority, and if we're going to have some big convention, it's not very many conventions where conservatives are a majority at the convention. Now, I am going to speak at the one on April 1st there in Harrisburg, your annual statewide convention, so I'll probably see you there.
Good.
And conservatives will probably be a majority at that convention, but we're not going to be a majority at the Constitutional Convention.
No, and they'll see to that for sure.
Right.
Michael Ferris will not be the president of that convention.
No. No.
Representative Dush goes on his last paragraph there, says, I believe the Founding Fathers gave us the Article 5 Convention for the purpose of reining in an out-of-control federal government. But again, if that's the case, then why hasn't Article 5 been used more so? I mean, that's just that just doesn't make sense, because granted, the Founding Fathers wanted a federal government that was much, much, much smaller than what we have. But we have allowed it to become so large through the introduction of amendments. And as you're pointing out with the income tax and with the direct election of U.S. senators, so we have actually harmed ourselves by allowing amendments to be passed, you know, going through the regular process of adding amendments, let alone opening the entire Constitution to a constitutional convention or convention of states. And again, that's, you know, they're muddying the waters when they've changed the terminology.
Yes.
Where they call it convention of states within constitutional convention, where it's all the same thing.
Yes.
So.
Yep. It's all the same thing. Yep. It's all under Article 5, and I encourage your audience to take a look at Article 5 of the Constitution. It's short, it's simple,
mm-hmm.
and it says that Congress calls it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's for the purpose of proposing amendments, plural.
Yeah.
Cannot
yeah.
be limited. And all the scholars have said this. I mean, Chief Justice Warren Burger wrote a letter to Phyllis Schlafly saying you cannot limit a constitutional convention. It's a horrible idea. Justice Scalia said it was horrible. Phyllis mm-hmm. Schlafly, always against this.
Yeah.
Always
yeah.
against this. Solicitor General Rex Lee from Utah, he said it's going to be a runaway convention. He was against it. And statesmen throughout history, too, Daniel Webster, James Madison, all of them said, no, 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 don't do this. Don't
wow.
do this. Don't have another one. First
yeah.
one was hard enough. It was miraculous. Do not have another one.
Don't expect another miracle, because it's not going to happen.
Right.
Yeah, wow. Well, okay, so what we need to do with this House Resolution 10 that Representative Dush has introduced is just make sure it goes nowhere. Tell our
yes.
call our representatives, tell them that we want them to vote against it if it happens to come to the floor for a vote
yes.
if it makes it that far. So that's our job, to make sure it doesn't go anywhere here in Pennsylvania.
Yes, and if you've passed any constitutional convention resolutions in the last 100 years or more, you can rescind them.
Oh,
and
really?
So there's a movement now on our side for states, as Delaware did last year, where it passed a resolution saying we rescind all prior calls for a constitutional convention. We urge other states to rescind theirs.
Oh, you're kidding. That's my home state. You're kidding. They
so,
actually
yeah,
did,
that's something
they actually
on the
did something
side.
Good. They actually
yeah.
did something good because they become so liberal. Wow, that's good. So
yeah,
they,
and this year, New Hampshire and New Mexico are looking at doing the same thing. So I don't know if Pennsylvania has ever called for a constitutional convention throughout its glorious history.
Yeah, I don't
if
know
it
that.
Has, you can rescind those, and that's a way to do something positive. So
yeah,
in addition
sure.
to blocking this bad bill, House Resolution 10, we can also ask our legislators to rescind. And
within the last calls for a constitutional convention in the last
yes.
100 years?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. How can folks contact you if they have any more questions on this?
Yeah, feel free to email me. My email address is simple. It's Andy, A-N-D-Y, at PSEagles.com. That's P as in Phyllis, S as in Schlafly, Eagles, plural, .com.
Okay.
And I check my email all the time. Be happy
okay.
to get back to you.
Okay, Andy at PSEagles.com. That's Andy at Phyllis, yeah. Schlafly, Eagles.com.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And thanks so much that you've taken the time to clarify this very important issue, because we have to stop this. And 5-0 so far is score this year.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Well,
okay.
thank you, Diane, for having me on your great show.
Okay, you take care.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.